Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's R-E-B-A-G.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Down to the tube top, the same old pimp, Mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp, can't stop till I see my name on a blimp, guarantee a million sales, call it love or luck, you don't believe in Harlem World, nigga double up, we don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down, niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now, I'm the young Harlem nigga with the Goldie sound, can't no P.A.D., niggas hold me down, Cuda, school me to the game, now I know my duty, stay humble, stay low, blow like Hootie, true pimp, nigga spin on dough on a booty.
Keep your hands high while I keep a girl alive. Play a please, lyrically, nigga see, B-I-G. often. Jig on the cover of Fortune. 5 00. Hit my phone number, your name, they got to know. I got the dough, got the flow down, Pizzak. Platinum plus, like Pizzak. Dangerous on Trizak. Leave your ass, Pizzak, Pizzak, Pizzak.
Guys, welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is Ryan Bailey. Welcome. Did I just mumble over my own name? My God. Welcome to your Friday episode, folks. Your Friday episode. We made it through another week. I'm so sorry I didn't do a Thursday episode, but my mom is in town, and I did like a 2-hour episode of Sexy Unique Podcast, or SUP, for my friend Laura Marie Shane Halls, and I was like, oh my God, that's kind of what I do on my show, is just kind of make fun of Vanderpump Rules anyways. And I think it's a really great episode, so I highly recommend you going to listen to that, especially if you want to hear me talk about this week's Vanderpump Rules. And we talk about like every season of Vanderpump Rules in this. It's a very easygoing conversation. That's the cool thing about doing this now repeatedly, day in, day out, for like 2 years, is that the relationships you build, and you really start to get comfortable with people. So I think that is definitely worth checking out. It's like really fun to guest on other people's pods, because I don't have to edit it. So it's like I can just talk shit and then let somebody else edit it. Like, that's the least fun part of this whole thing, you guys, is that the edit afterwards and the audio processing. It's the worst part of this whole thing. Like, imagine talking and doing all this crap and taking the notes on a show and it's all good, and then afterwards you have to listen to it, cut it all up, run it through like these programs that take like 30 minutes to like process, and then if you make one mistake you have to process it all over again, and then typing up a description of the show, and you're just at that point your brain is mush and you're like, Friday, this is talk with people, have good weekend. Housewives in the Island, baby. Sorry, I'm just gonna scream that every now and then. If you don't know what that is, that's Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. That is the beginning theme song, like Housewives in the Island, baby. I am going to be recapping that entire season. I've already done episode 1. I've taken notes on episode 2. I was going to put that out today, but I'm gonna be putting that out next week. In fact, I might be just doing a whole nother pod of just Ultimate Girls Trip recaps, because I'm full up on interviews. I'm sitting on so much content right now, you guys. Like, but then things keep happening. So today's guests, you know the two ladies from the Bravo Docket, the podcast, the lawyers. They were also the talking heads on the Hulu ABC production, The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker. I still think that's not a great, it should have been The Housewife and the Shaw Squad, but whatever. But they took time out of their busy schedules, and they talk with us today about the Shaw case, about Erica Jane, about, you know, just so many good things. They are so great, and I wanted to release that because the Hulu special dropped this week, and if you haven't watched it, this will be a good primer for you, but there's a lot of good information in that. And we talk about, I mean, we just, it runs the gamut, but it's nice to have people that are so damn smart, you know? I mean, sometimes I talk to these people, you guys, and I'm like, you're just like, look at the big brain on them. Look at these guys. Like, you're just like, man, like, I kind of know how to talk, but then sometimes you're just downright intimidated. And I'm not saying like they're intimidating because they are so nice to me, but there are certain people you're like, man, what I would waste if I had that brain. Anyways, that is our guest today. So I just want to talk about a couple of things before then, if that's cool with you. So Maritza Lopez keeps reminding me to do this, and I keep forgetting. But if you are a Patreon member, we're going to be sending out an email to get your address, because we will be sending you a holiday card. So please, if you're a Patreon member, please send me your mailing address. We'll be sending that out officially so you can respond to that. But if you want a homemade So Bad It's Good holiday card, we will be sending that out in, I guess, a week and a half, 2 weeks, Mediza. But if you want to, join the Patreon, so you'll get a card and a, you know, it's a very, very unique card, and I'm very excited for you to see it. And Mediza is such an artist. We've been going back and forth, and she's never satisfied. Like a true, true Michelangelo, that woman is. So wanted to remind people, if they want that, get over there. We've started back up the Real Housewives of Miami recaps because, you guys, Real Housewives of Miami, December 15th, it's coming back on Peacock, and the trailer looked amazing. And I've said this since, because I'm working my way through Miami for the first time, the original three seasons. I think I'm about 50% of the way through, and it's really good. Like, it's so good that I don't know why I didn't watch it in the first place. And the trailer has a couple of the people for this new season, the reboot, has a couple of the people from the previous seasons, like Alexia, Larva Pippen, Larza, but I call her Larva. Adriana is only a friend of. Adriana was amazing. Leah Black, unfortunately, is not in this, but I did interview Leah Black, and you'll be hearing that, I think, next week. And I was going to go over the trailer and maybe even play some clips of the recaps that me and Mediza do, because that's another person that I'm so comfortable with. The conversation always goes in 30 different directions, and we end up just talking about sex stuff. So bad it's good after dark. Are you guys good? Are you ready to have the best weekend of your life? I miss doing the Beverly Hills recaps. You know, I do. So I'm gonna just do a couple voices right now just to get them out. Okay. What's up, everybody? I'm really happy Ryan's not doing those recaps no more. Look at me. Look at my life. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Huh. My name is Erica Jane. I'm so glad Ryan is through with his recaps. I don't need no recaps. I don't need no paps. Rotsy, paps, rotsy. Ryan is a... What's up? Look at my life. Look at my life. They once called me Gerardi's wife. Look at my butt. Look at my legs. I'm on IG spreading my... See? I automatically get in a good... We can't be me, baby. It's me. It's me. Oh, my God. I keep forgetting to talk about this story, too. Something's going on with Lisa Rinna and Delilah. There was like a blind item. That's one of her daughters. I call her not Amelia. So it's Amelia, which we know, the one who dated Scott and at a point had no eyebrows. And then not Amelia, which I guess her name is Delilah. And Delilah, remember she had that whole, she had like an overdose accidentally. And so that is wild. But I guess something's going on where Lisa and Delilah are not speaking with each other. These are, of course, all rumors, so, you know, take everything with a grain of salt. But if that is the case, I mean, that's what we've always said, though, is that, like, Lisa, you know, does not clean up her side. You know, like, she doesn't take care of her own family, you know? So, I don't know. I'm going to try to find out more information. Marissa, you're the one. Marissa, if you're listening, make sure I'm actually well. Like, make sure you give me the update on the story so I can talk about it on Monday with Sophie. Also, Selling Sunset, did everybody watch it? That's another show I want to recap, or I want to do like an episode about, because I watched all 10 episodes and I'm no better or worse for it. It's just, it's like weird. It like came and now it's done. And I did a podcast with Kate Casey about it, and we went over it, and it was a blast. You should actually listen to that. That happened this week as well. But it's just weird that these shows, these pop culture shows, they like stay in our consciousness for like a day or two. Like, it's Friday, and I've already forgotten that at the beginning of the week it was all I was thinking about. What is up with that? Oh, also, I forgot to do my Sutton. I'll say, Ryan, I'll miss you so much. It's me, Sutton Strack. I own 2 minor league baseball teams, a ballet. I own a ballet. I sit on the board of a ballet company. I'll say. okay. Be a professional, Ryan. That's what they're, the people are here. I always, what I love at this point is like new people, because we always want new people to tune in, right? Like, you guys are cool with me. You're used to me to a degree. And you know, when I get on my rants or but like new people, I always picture them showing up like, what the hell is this dude doing? I got so much to tell you though, and I'm trying not to forget. I got to keep better detailed notes, or just notes. I got to keep notes. Okay. My mom's in town, and I was thinking about, and this isn't reality show based, so please go with me. I know this might be boring to you, but I was thinking about, like, so she's here. I moved in to a new place a couple weeks ago, and I said, Mom, you know, come and you can, like, you know, help me put my room together, or, like, you know, like those things that your mom does. Like, my mom, and I know I'm very lucky, I know not all moms are like this, but my mom loves to do that. I mean, I don't know if she loves to do it, but she does it. And she, you know, every time, the only time that my mom wasn't able to, like, come out, like, you know, my divorce, when that happened, I was just kind of bouncing all around. And then finally I got a place, thank God. But there was something going on that she couldn't come out. Oh no, I know why. It was like she had breast cancer, and she was dealing with that, of course. And so I was like, no, I've got this. And but she was always, and I was always thinking, like, I always forget that I'm older. I still in my mind think I'm 18, and that's a dangerous thing. Like, believe me, that's not a good thing. But I was thinking of how many times, you know, lately I've been talking about the passage of time and how time has seemed to just kind of all of a sudden 20 years have passed. And that's a really scary feeling. In fact, tonight I was watching the latest episode of The Real World Homecoming, or like on Paramount Plus, they do the Real World, reunions. They put the, like, cast members from the first season and now the second season, the Los Angeles season, back in the same house for like a week. And I've watched all those shows religiously as a kid. Like, I lived and breathed them. And they were going over the Tammy fight tonight. And it was just so interesting. And it was kind of beautiful because they kind of came to an agreement and everybody was apologizing to each other. And I thought it was very powerful. And I wish you guys had all seen the second season of Real World. But there was characters Tammy and David, and there was this huge fight because this guy, David, was pulling at Tammy's blanket. And what started off as a joke turned into, like, accusations about rape. And I just remember, like, there's this line of Tammy's that's burned into my memory where she comes in with a shampoo bottle, like, shoving it in David's face. And she's like, it wasn't not funny. And to me, that's reality show history. So it is very odd and very weird to watch these people 25 years later, when I was a kid watching this, and now watching this as a grown man, and just the passage of time. Guys, it is freaking me out lately. And I know a lot of you guys are so young that you don't know, but, like, I know a lot of the audience is my age or older and things like that. And it's just how weird it is. I feel like I'm, like, in the Matrix or something, or that we definitely are living in a simulation. But regardless of that, my mom, I was just thinking about all those times in my life, whether it be college and my mom helping me move into my first dorm, or coming out to Los Angeles and living here for the first time. Now, my dad actually drove the U-Haul truck with me and my ex-girlfriend at the time, or my girlfriend at the time. And then my mom came out and did some finishing touches. And then when, just a string of apartments, she was always there. And I guess we went to like four different stores yesterday looking for dolls and a bath mat. So we were at the Holy Trinity, Marshalls and TJ Maxx. And, you know, it's like sitting there. And it was another time where I was having like deja vu, realizing, no, it's not deja vu. I've actually been here with my mom multiple times. And it was like, I remember specifically we were in Ross. And she was looking at these towels, trying to find the right color of blue. We never found it, so we went gray. Long story. And I was looking at a tea kettle. And I kind of got sad, because I kind of like got, you know, this isn't normal. Like, should I still be having my mom come out and, like, piece my life together, but, like, do the things that I should know that you know, like that I should know how to pick out the right things to match the bathroom. Do you guys know what I'm saying? I don't want to make myself sound pathetic, but I guess there's no reason. I don't think I can avoid that at this point, but I kind of like was like, man, are you too old for this shit? But at the same time, she's just so great at, like, we put together an IKEA desk today, and the woman is just, she's nonstop. She got in here yesterday and we've done 30 billion things. Yeah, 30 billion things. I don't know, like, it's like I get way more stuff done when my mom's here because she's my mom. But at the same time, I realize that doesn't really make me that much of a man. I'm very confused. I really need to talk to a therapist about this. BetterHelp, what's going on? She taught me how to make this one pot meal today. She's given me all of her Pinterest recipes, you guys. So she really wants me to start with these one pot meals. And now that I have a nice kitchen, that I should be cooking more and all of these things that I have to be reminded again because I always forget. But I guess that's the beauty of having your mother or your father. And shout out, I mean, like, I don't want to trigger anybody because I know I am extremely lucky, but I just want one of these things to, like, I just want to make sure, like, when are we going to start remembering all the things that our parents told us? Or when are we going to start using all the lessons? Like, I think I've learned certain ones of them. But, man, I want to be a good person. I really do. And sometimes I just feel like I fall so short of that. I don't know if you guys ever feel like that. And by the way, God, this is a funny, I swear to God, this is a funny interview. I know this is Friday. We're supposed to party. We're supposed to have a good time. And we are. This weekend is all about that. This is just thoughts in my mind. And you guys are my friends. So I'm telling you my thoughts. And I would listen to you. That's all I'm saying. I would listen to you guys if you came to me with the problem. And this isn't even a problem. These are just thoughts I'm having. The desk looks great, by the way. I can't wait to have you guys all over here for a party. let's see here. Erica Jane, she has that hair extension line, which is just, so Erica Jane is coming out with this hair extension line. And I always think that is just ridiculous. It's always a bad sign when, like, you know, hair extension lines really lost a lot of its allure for like wigs and extensions after Kim Zolciak Bierman did hers. You know, I was like, you're not going to get better than that. But like Erica Jane, it's like, really? I don't know. Like anything that Erica Jane does for me, it's like, I just am still, it's so grating. It's like nails on a chalkboard for me. I don't know if you guys feel the same. Oh, also, Real Housewives of Orange County. Holy balls. Good, right? Am I good? Like, and guys, I need some help here. There is too many things. Like, I want to recap all of Ultimate Girls Trip, but it's only 7 episodes. I can knock that. That's why I was thinking about doing it as like one entire series, and I could just throw it all up there at one time or put some on there and some on the Patreon or something. I don't know. But like, I don't know. Do you guys want me recapping OC? Do you want me recapping, like, I've got to pick the Friday show, and OC is actually, I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of interesting things that it's presenting. It's giving early OC, you guys. And I think we've really got to call attention to that. But I don't know. I watched it like with a half eye open, and I'm going to be watching it probably 3 more times because I just thought there is so much goodness here. And Heather Dubrow's house, wow. And the reactions from the other ladies about Heather Dubrow's house, amazing. That's the show of reality show dreams as well. We can't get that, huh? We can't get higher than that, folks. Come on. What are you guys doing this weekend? Are you going to, what should I be watching? I have a whole TV list. Everybody keeps talking about this Yellowstone show too. And I'm kind of a Western guy myself, but I mean, I don't know, like I haven't touched it at all, but everybody keeps talking about it. So I think I'm going to have to binge that over the holidays. God, can you imagine? We're in the holidays. It's December. It's December 3rd. Like what the hell is going on? Fastest year I've ever had in my life, hands down. Just craziness. I don't know. Wild. No Pete and Kim news. So we're all safe on that front for the time being. Very thankful for that. I don't have any Will Smith stories tonight, thank God. Let's see. Alec Baldwin went and did an ABC special talking about the unfortunate death and shooting of his director of photography on the movie Rust and the director who survived, but unfortunately the cinematographer did not. And he says he did not feel guilty It's, you know, of course he feels horrible, but he doesn't feel guilty because he says he never pulled the trigger on the gun. Now, he says he cocked the gun and it went off. This, of course, I guess, conflicts with his original statement. He said, I would never fire the gun. But also, even if he did fire the gun, there was not supposed to be a live round in there. There wasn't supposed to be a dummy round, a live round. It was supposed to be a clean gun. So it is horrifying. And if you look at the bags under Alec Baldwin's eyes right now, it does look like that dude's going through hell. And I know Alec Baldwin is a kind of a figure, sometimes a very non-sympathetic figure, just because he can be such an asshole. And I don't even mean politically at all. I'm talking just about how he treats. He's just a very gruff dude. And of course, the Ilaria, I am Hillary from Boston. That whole scandal happened in January. And it's like, talk about a shitty year, man. You know what I'm saying? That is a wild year. And it just, whew. I would not. Isn't that interesting, though, when these people that have these aspirations? That's why I always tell you guys, just because a celebrity has like a good run, remember, like, they're just people like anybody else. I would not want to trade positions with Alec Baldwin right now for any reason. You know, I mean, sometimes that's like, think about like Travis Scott or Alec Baldwin. It's like, no, thank you. Also, I wonder how we would... Oh, also, did you guys watch Annie live tonight on NBC? And NBC does this thing every year now where they'll do a live musical. And this year was Annie. Annie, the movie, actually meant a great deal to me as a little kid. Carol Burnett as Mrs. Hannigan, as Miss Hannigan, the evil Miss Hannigan. Harry Connick Jr. played Daddy Warbucks. Looks like he shaved his head. Man, when I was a kid, I had a huge Harry... I was a huge nerd for Harry Connick Jr. Oh, man, he had a couple killer big band albums. But, I mean, let's see, Britney Spears turned 40. That's another story, you guys. Time is hitting me up and down the face. I need time to stop. Please, I need some kind of Freaky Friday movie where I get transported into, like, the body of, like, one of the Kardashian kids. Yeah, I don't want, like, just a normal kid. I want, like, you know, Penelope or Mason or not Mason, one of the cool ones. You know what I'm saying. Machine Gun Kelly gives us a new fake story, probably, where he said when he was trying to impress Megan Fox when they were first hanging out, he got a knife from Travis Barker as a gift, which is like, okay, I'll get you a knife, like, cool, I'm so cool, like, come on, man, you're gifting your friends knives? And it didn't sound like it was a cooking knife, you guys, like, just like, that's what, anyways. I guess he then threw the knife up, tried to catch it, and it landed in his hand. Now, I think there's like a 30% chance that this story is even real in the first place. But also, what a dummy. Like, you're literally doing shit that, like, kids in junior high did. Like, that was like, I had actually one friend, Andrew, who I'm still friends with. He did that when he was like 23. And we thought he was an idiot at 23. I think Machine Gun Kelly's like 35 or something like that. Like, at what point is it not... And guess what? If Machine Gun Kelly was not Machine Gun Kelly, we would not be thinking that was cool at all. At all. Okay. Let's get into this. And thank you, guys. I know, like I said, I didn't release Thursday episode, and I felt a little bit more rushed than I have in the last week just because of Thanksgiving and my mom coming into town. But I promise you, next week, you are going to be so sick of me. I am going to talk so much. I am going to talk at you guys so, so much. I don't know. I like this, but like, does anybody have cute stories about their kids and Santa? I don't know. If you do, there's like a voicemail number. Please leave them for me. Like, what are the, like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm asking, but I just love hearing if kids believe in Santa Claus or not and what kids ask. Because if, like, you can ask for anything, like, I don't remember there being rules put on this, but I also don't ever remember asking for, like, an airplane or something stupid like that. Like, I'm trying to remember, did my parents tell me, like, hey, just try to ask Santa for things in, like, a $40, $50 range, you know? I don't know. I'm just curious what everybody's kids are doing, if they're being really cute or if they're being brats. Because that was the other thing, you guys. When you're a kid, the naughty or nice thing was, I mean, that was the real deal. Like, And then parents would over-threaten, like, oh, Santa's going to see this. And you'd be like, damn it, shut up. Santa can hear you, Dad. You'd get all upset, like, stop saying Santa. It's like he's like Jesus or somebody. He's like omnipresent. He's always there. But I was always like, damn. And my parents had like a lump of coal. They actually did. And I remember the first year that I could remember this, they put it in my sister's stocking. But my sister still got tons of gifts. But then it was my sister's stocking, and they said, and it was like, Santa thinks you can do better. Santa thinks you can do better next year. And I was like, I was so psyched that it wasn't me. And I was, but also I was like, makes sense. My sister is an asshole. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, Santa knows what's up. Like, Santa actually does see who's good and bad because he nailed it on this one, you know? But then it was like really, because then it was frightening because it was like confirmation, A, that I'm an idiot, that I bought it, and B, that like, whoa, that's an actual lump of coal. This shit is real. This is realer than real. And it really did give me pause every time I did something bad. Until I started looking at Victoria's Secret catalogs and that was beautiful. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Okay, you guys, let's get into our guest. And so the Jen Shah case, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City comes back on the air this Sunday. We had a break for Portia's Family Matters. That I still have not seen that. I've got to see it, but it's hard. Like, Bravo, like, doesn't, like, it's, I tried to DVR it, but I can't find the actual title on my DVR. So I think they've, like, hidden it as Real Housewives of Atlanta or something. But I definitely want to see it. But I'm very excited for Salt Lake to come back because I feel like they let the air out a little bit. And it's, like, just really good, really great episodes right now, you know? And I just want to get the continuation of that story. And then, of course, as we have Mary's church stuff happening, it's all happening, as Sheena Shea says. So Ceci and Angela are amazing. Like I said, two lawyers. Their podcast is called The Bravo Docket, but I want to draw you to attention that they just started their YouTube and they started a Patreon. I gotta tell you, man, they're so far. I gotta start a YouTube. Dang it. Sandra, please add this to the list. I'm supposed to, like I said, con my nephew Watermelon. He said he was going to help me set up like my YouTube, like get the right YouTube camera and stuff like that. And I said he could have admin privileges on my YouTube page, which I don't even know what I offered with that. But so he supposedly at Christmas time is going to tell me everything I need and walk me through this. He's 13 years old, but I think I can trust him. He's a good kid. But I'm very excited because would you guys dig that if you also, I don't think a lot of people would, but some people would have the opportunity to watch me and the guest I interview on YouTube. Is that something that people would care about? Like, I don't know. It just seems like the next kind of step up, and especially if I'm trying to be like talking head and things. Oh, by the way, the talking head thing I did, I don't know what I'm allowed to say and what I'm not allowed to say. But I think it went really good. I saw a couple shots of me on camera, and it was so well lit. I looked like I was on Selling Sunset, and I thought I looked decent. Who knows how the finished product will be? But I don't know what I'm allowed to say, so I'll try to tell you as much as I can as soon as I get permission. But it was really a very big. I've told you guys it was a very big bucket list thing for me. It was a real goal, and I know that's a weird goal, like be a talking head in something, but it really was. Also, on that tip, I know this is silly, but Spotify did their year in the Spotify Wrapped, where it tells you what your favorite artists were that year, who your favorite artists were, who were your favorite podcasts, all of that stuff. And I gotta tell you guys, I got so many of you sending me photos of I was in your top five. And I've never been in a top five, not even MySpace for anyone. Like, but I was in your top five, and I tried to put, I posted a lot, but I didn't even post a fraction because I just got busy with my mom and stuff. And I just want to say, like, that fucking means the world, you guys. And for you to even publicly want people to know that you listen to me, wow. To see my name with like people like Danny and Watch What Crappens, and it just fucking meant the world. And like last year, I had a couple people do that, but this year it was like, I couldn't believe it. And by the way, I got to tell you, just to be honest, I saw the night before somebody on Twitter said, oh shit, the Spotify wrap's out. And I was like, oh no. And I had a pit in my stomach, like nobody's top five. And that's kind of just how my mind works. But I woke up and it was truly like Christmas. I was in so many people's, and I know shit like that shouldn't matter, but it does, because it means people are listening and it means people are enjoying it. It means you guys are spending your hard, your time is precious. And for me to even be in background noise, which I'm totally cool with, I'm totally cool with you sleeping to this podcast, with you driving around, with you talking to your friends while this plays silently in the background. I'm good with all of it. But the fact that you let me in and then, you know, I don't know. I don't know the words to say right now. I'm not even drunk. I haven't even drank. And I just, I'm speechless. So thank you. So, okay. So now this is some fun stuff. The Bravo docket, our guests today, Angela and Ceci, here they are. We talk all about the Hulu documentary, the court case. There's a lot of laughs in here, and they're just great women. And if you don't listen to their podcast or follow them, I highly recommend it. Also, apologies. The mic that I'm using right now, it keeps repeating. So I've tried to edit that out as much as I can as I go. But just, I'm going to look into it over the weekend. But anyways, regardless, here it is, the Bravo docket. You guys, everybody listening, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to you. Have the best weekend ever. We've got, a couple more weeks till Christmas. Let's ride this out. Let's have a great time. Let's try to be as positive as we can. We got a little taste of what it could be like at Thanksgiving. Let's bring that attitude right into the holidays. Happy Hanukkah right now for all my Jewish friends. And let's just enjoy the rest of the year and take in this new year together. So that's it. Here they are, the Bravo docket. Welcome back to So Bad It's Good. Today we have returning guests. I have been so excited to talk to these ladies since the first time I talked to them. They are just so good at what they do. You probably already listened to their podcast. If you don't, you've got to check them out. Not only have they taken over the podcasting world, they are now TV stars as well. They are the talking heads of the year, in my opinion, being part of the ABC Hulu co-production, The Housewife and The Shaw Shocker. But I also want to talk about today, they just started a Patreon and a YouTube channel. My God, Angela and Ceci, welcome back to the show, The Bravo Docket. How are you guys?
We're good. We're super excited to be here. We had so much fun the last time we were on with you.
Yeah, we've been waiting to come back. We're excited to talk to you.
Is there any truth to the rumors that since you did my podcast, ABC reached out to get you guys on the network immediately?
You know,
it might have been
confirmed or denied.
I know this is a crazy thing to congratulate you for because it's a really dark topic, which is a lot of law topics, especially in the housewives world are, but was it fun to get to do that? I mean, all kidding aside, was that enjoyable for you guys?
It was a great honor. Yeah.
And I also feel like we had been going through the documents so much and we had so much to say about it that it was great to have the platform to finally speak about it and to have people see us because we never really show ourselves. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Of course, it's like a dark topic, like you said, and we feel for the victims and stuff, but we're just happy to explain things to people and get them to understand what's going on.
That's what I really love about you guys is that you do explain what's going on. And you know, when you walk us through these things, these are really complicated issues. And you really walk us through it kind of with like grace and aplomb, whether, you know, I feel like I'm an anvil and I'll just hit you over the head with stuff. And half of the stuff isn't true. Like I admit the stuff that I make up, but you guys are dealing in facts. And when you deal in facts, it's a whole different thing. Before we get into the case itself, any reactions from family members or friends? Like what's the worst reaction you guys got from being on TV and what's the best reaction?
I didn't get a bad reaction. I mean, we haven't gotten a bad reaction. Our fans are so smart and they're so supportive and they're so proud of us because, I mean, we met on Reddit. And so when we like announced on Reddit that we actually did the podcast, like there's people that have been with us from the very beginning. And mostly it's really just been our fans being super and we're so grateful. So.
No, I meant like family. Like my mom saw me on TV and she's like, you look fat. You know, like it was like, mom, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't know if you got any weird reactions from any kind of family or anything.
No, I do wish I get, like, I feel like I have so much more sympathy now for when housewives want to do glam, because we had to do our own hair and makeup, and we had to get up super early, and we flew in the night before. They flew us into LA, and I mean, we're lawyers, we're not like reality TV stars, and we do a podcast, so it's like we're not, you know, we don't know. I thought I had caked makeup on, and then I saw myself and was like, I am the whitest white person of all time. I look so pale. Like, and I thought I had really caked the makeup on that morning, but nope.
And for the people at home that don't really know how these things are put together, like, you know, you were used sparingly through the hour production. They kept cutting to you guys. But how long was it to interview you guys for the actual show?
Yeah, we were there for about 3.5 hours. Wow. And we went through like everything, every detail from the beginning to the end, our opinions, everything. We talked so much. So I feel like we have a lot to say that wasn't released like on the case and on the subject matter. So we were there for so long and only a sliver of it was in there. And it's, of course, the times where I'm like making weird faces and going,
whatever.
There was one part where I was like, she shouldn't be on the show. And it's like, oh, God, of course.
I think Ronald Richards is the one that shouldn't be on the, did you guys know who else was appearing on the show, or were you surprised when you watched it?
We had some tidbits. We knew that they got some victims that had been victimized by similar telemarketing schemes. We knew that they spoke to, I think, people involved in the investigation. We knew that. And then we knew that they had been talking to Dana Wilkie, but that was the extent of it.
I think Dana has like some deal with ABC right now, it seems like. So
she does a good job. I mean, she's clear and articulate, and she does it. She's not a lawyer, but she does a good job, and she speaks with enthusiasm. I can see why, you know, she gets asked back.
Well, I think she has decent information, and I think Bravo fans, though, kind of associate her with $25,000 sunglasses and stuff. So she'll never be able to live down certain aspects of her past. And I think she even feels that. So it's really interesting that, like, I'll have her on the podcast and people are like, I love her, or like, I hate her. It's really weird, but it's not even about what we're talking about. It's like about like years ago on a housewife show, you know?
Yeah, she can't shake it.
No, I know. It's like, imagine that. God. There was actually breaking news in the Jen Shah case today. They actually set a court date, and there is going to be a court case. Does that mean there's going to be a jury?
Yes. So it had previously been set for jury trial, but what they put out was the dates for motions in limine, which are the pretrial motions where you argue things like, okay, we don't think that this evidence should be admitted. We think that this is too prejudicial. We, you know, want to keep out this witness or things like that. A lot of those are your, you know, pretrial type motions that you're saying, like, I don't want this stuff in front of the jury because I think it's going to inhibit the right to a fair trial. And then the pretrial conference, which is where those things are argued. And then they say the trial date will be March 22nd. So that came out.
Wow. So, I mean, it's the Southern District of New York. Does that mean it's going to be tried in New York?
Yes.
Yeah. So they showed the courthouse a lot during the documentary. It's right downtown on Pearl Street, right there. You can go stand on the steps and tell Jen Shah she looks fabulous.
Wait, so does that mean New Yorkers will be able to be on the jury for Jen Shah?
Yeah, it will be New Yorkers that are being pooled to be on her jury.
I think, like, I don't know how much you juries, but will they be asking the jury pool, do you watch Housewives and are you a fan of Salt Lake?
Yes. They will say, do you know this person? Do you watch Bravo? They will be asking those things, and they will likely be researching the jurors to see if they've made comments on social media about it. I know I did that. I've done that with every time I've had a jury trial. You look things up to see. And I mean, people that are potential jurors sometimes will even post things like, I got called for jury duty today. Everybody guilty. And it's like, can't do that. Because then you're rejected for cause. I was like, got it.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to say, like, if you were for, if you were for the defense, if you were Jen Shah's attorney, who are you looking for in a jury trial for somebody like Jen? And you guys, if you don't, if you haven't watched The Housewives and the Shah Shocker, I highly recommend it. But it, you know what it was like a gigantic telemarketing scheme that really took elderly people that weren't familiar with the internet. Like my grandma got taken for a roof one time, and my grandma's like 97 years old. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for this, but what would you guys say they would be looking for in a jury that would be pro Jen's, whatever her argument is?
Somebody that can be, somebody that will be fair and will look at the facts and will not be swayed by something they perhaps have seen on TVs. I mean, they're going to ask the jurors, you know, do you, can you be fair? How will you look at the facts? What, or can you withhold judgment until all of the evidence is in? Can you follow the instructions the judge gives you? I mean, you just want someone that will be methodical and withhold judgment until all the evidence is in.
I think, well, so I've participated in a jury trial before as well, and I had the role of looking up jurors and looking up their social media. Mine was kind of music related, so I tried to see if people had gone to concerts and stuff and see if they would like have sympathy yeah. for the client. So for someone to be pro Jen Shah, I would look and see if they're like fans of similar reality TV shows, if they like the Kardashians, stuff like that, to where they would like, I don't know, kind of sway on her side and be into these kind of pop icons. Do you get what I mean?
The interesting thing though is like I'm into pop icons, but I'm also in, like, I'm also really like, I'm not anti-Jen Shah, but I'm very, like, it would be hard for me to go there even if I, like, I think part of liking The Housewives, though, is disliking The Housewives. Mm-hmm. Like, or at least one or two per cast. And I think Jen always fell on that, you know, she's only one season and she's acting like a maniac at times.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, if that's a case-by-case basis. And, you know, I don't know what your guys' opinions based on the Erica Jayne stuff, but she was going into this season, she was 6 or 7 year housewife already. Jen only has one season. Do we really, even the fans, know her enough to like throw our full support behind somebody like this?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's just, I mean, she's a one season housewife. And if I were picking a jury for somebody similar to Jen who was on reality TV show, I would think I would want like people that do not watch reality TV, because in my opinion, her behavior on the show and in continuing to film has not been helpful for her. I would love to find somebody that has never seen any of it, doesn't know any of it, is just going to look at the facts. Just because I don't think she has really helped herself with any of her behavior. Yeah. Their tagline is, I cannot
yeah,
believe
you guys,
that's real.
Her tagline would like, I talked about this on the pod, but it's literally like, I'm Shah-mazing. And I was like, you're already been arrested and you agree to, even if somebody wrote that for you, you agree to that? That's wild.
The only thing I'm guilty of is being Shah-mazing. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the lowest sentence you can get for being Shah-mazing? Is it like 8 to 10? Is there a, yeah. Well, by the way, you said, you guys, how long is she potentially up for like prison or whatever? Like what is the least she could get? What is the most she could get?
I think it was 20 for one of the charges and then 30 years for the other charge. But there's so many things that go into it, so we can't definitively give her like a number that we think she's going to get if she's found guilty, because she's not yet found guilty. So we can't, you know.
I can say. See, I'm not the Bravo docket, so I can say she's found guilty. You guys have to go by the facts. I mean, I've already done the fan fiction aspect of this in my mind, but I mean, can you say as lawyers like this doesn't look great?
I can say that this would be a very, in my opinion, a very difficult case to try especially in defense of Jen, because with her co-conspirator pleading guilty, and she's, you know, the conspiracy to commit wire fraud, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and I think it's going to be difficult to impeach that testimony from Stu Chains. So.
Will they call him Stu Chains in court?
I don't know. I like to call him Stu Chains.
Yeah, but by the way, the co-conspirator is Stuart Smith, right?
Yes, yes.
And he supposedly, didn't he re-enter his plea and now he is working with the Southern District of New York? Is that right?
He just pled guilty, yeah, to specific charges. Ceci
Yeah, he pled guilty to the two conspiracy charges, so to commit wire fraud and money laundering, and then another one, which was obstruction of justice with in connection with the FTC investigation that was mentioned in the documentary, essentially admitting that he lied on the record and, you know, did something shady there. But he also said, like, I don't have the language in front of me, but the essence of it was that we marketed services that didn't actually exist and had no benefit to our consumers. So it's not great testimony for Jen, and we'll see how it plays out.
I mean, this is the wild thing. Like these services that they didn't exist. So this was illegal, even if you were targeting elderly or if you're targeting anybody, this would be illegal, correct?
Yeah, that's wire fraud, where you're using the interstate communication systems to, you know, trick people into giving you money for things that don't exist. That's fraud. I mean, that's fraud, allegedly, in this case.
Yeah.
It is alleged fraud. So it's not good. I think also what's really interesting is the motion that her attorneys filed just, was it yesterday? It's saying...
Yeah, it was based on the Hulu. You guys are now part of this. You might get Jen Shah off just because you participated in a documentary. Explain what that motion is.
So she's trying to get the case now dismissed because she's saying that the jury pool is going to be tarnished because of this documentary coming out. And they revealed information from their investigation, which is inappropriate, but really... How many people in Manhattan are we thinking saw this documentary?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, are they going to bring ratings in, and are they going to like, and by the way, I mean, I do wonder sometimes the ratings about this just in popularity, because the Erica Jane one was huge because Tom Girardi, this has been going 4 decades. Once again, this is a newer thing, but I love that ABC is doing this where they do walk like that's what I love about you guys and your show. You actually give us information. You walk us through this process, but when you file motions like that, to me, from an outsider's perspective, it looks like a desperate, you know, like I'm just trying to grab at something because we need to try to throw anything at the wall and see what stick. Is that it? Or is this what you would, is this what most people would do after a documentary of their crimes airs on TV?
I mean, I think it's completely reasonable of her attorney to make these arguments, and she, you know, is defending her client. And I think it's reasonable to make these arguments. Now, in my opinion, the arguments that they're making, that like she can't get a fair trial, and she, you know, they talked about her lavish lifestyle, and they, you know, talked about it, you know, according to Jen's attorney, alleged, you know, this information that supposedly wasn't available, but Jen continued to film. Like, we've already mentioned her tagline where she said she wasn't guilty. Jen continued to show her lavish lifestyle. Jen continued to like talk about her life, and Jen showed a clip of her with her attorney that she voluntarily filmed. So for her to now say, oh, ABC talking about this is disrupting my right to a fair trial, I don't think that that's going to work out for her to make this argument. Now, if she had stopped filming, if she had not, you know, done any appearances, if she had shut down her social media, and then this came out, I still don't think that necessarily this argument would work, but I would think she would have more credibility making it. I just don't think I didn't find it credible because she's continued to show all of her stuff.
I was talking about this in regards to Armie Hammer, which I know it's not completely the same at all, but the one thing I said that I give him not credit, but the one thing I think helps his whole case or what's accused is that he stayed quiet for the most part. Yeah. Is that, you know, we are left to guess where he is and what that, but like with Jen, she's at the Hustler Club. She's at the, you know, she's out there so much. And I think in her head, I don't know, we can only guess it. Like, does she think she's smarter than us? We see housewives with an insane amount of hubris and they just are off the charts in that. But I don't know. Like, I would love to think is that she thinks she's smarter than the rest of us, or is just she's not guilty. So why am I going to act like I'm guilty? Like, I mean, it's, you know, you can only guess, but it I don't know. It's like even with the Erica Jane stuff, I didn't love that. And Erica Jane wasn't even committed. It was part of the actual, you know, crime, supposedly.
There's no criminal charges against Erica Girardi currently.
Yeah. she's kind of tangentially related in there. Like here, Jen is like number one, and yeah, she's still
the named defendant,
right?
I mean, that's what I'm like. Has anybody explained she's the top of the pyramid? Like, I don't. That's what's so weird to me. And I know she's not dumb, so that's the thing that I'm like. She has to have some plan of action, or is there? I mean, also, is the argument going to be, I did this telemarketing thing, but I had no, I thought the services existed and I had no clue we were like, I didn't know this was even illegal. Is that the argument? Like, I didn't know this was illegal.
I think the argument is that she doesn't think it was illegal at all, that she was doing it in a legal way. She's just selling information back and forth and that's totally fine. No big deal. And maybe she'll have to plead ignorance to not knowing that the services they were trying to sell didn't exist, but I don't know how she can when it's clear she was working or alleged that she was working with Stuart. So I don't know. I don't know.
It's going to be difficult for her. And I mean, one thing is like the government, allegedly, according to the government's filings and documents, they are alleging that she had her own sales floor in Manhattan. And that she also like owned companies that worked against the chargebacks, or she was allegedly a partial owner, or her companies used those companies to prevent the chargebacks on credit cards. And then basically it's like, if you think of like, this isn't an MLM, but if you think of an MLM, the government is alleging she is at the top. So like the LuLaRoe MLM, she's like those weird people at the very top.
God, just imagine if she now I'm like scared she sold LuLaRoe as well. Like that was on top of it. So she was at the top, but like the floor thing, that's like they mentioned in the documentary, that's very Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, she had her own floor of people.
The government alleges she had her own sales floor in Manhattan. And so when on the documentary, when they're like, these aren't Jen's victims, it's also like, it's almost like if you think about the MLM, okay, yeah, Jen wasn't the one selling the independent retailer selling the ugly leggings. She was at the top, like owning the companies and then, you know, orchestrating the back and forth, and who got the information and whatever. So it's just they had an agreement to commit this, whatever the underlying charges, like you had an agreement to like defraud people out of money using interstate communications. Like there doesn't even have to be a victim. And I think that's like a confusing legal issue that doesn't necessarily come up a lot when people are thinking about it.
As lawyers and people who study this, is this, I mean, to you guys, is this a good case in terms of like, do you geek out on this or you're like,
yes.
this is cut and dry. This is like, we've seen it a million times, you know?
No, I think we geek out on it because like Angela and I are huge fans. But from a law perspective, I don't think you see a lot of these types of cases come about. I think something we spoke about before is that how, you know, the FTC hits these companies and they kind of just pick up and move on and do it again. And so it kind of seems like they're putting their foot down and really going after these sales floors and these telemarketers and stopping it finally once and for all.
And they have to make a lesson of her regardless if she's a housewife or not, right?
Yeah, but this investigation, I mean, really the government agents, like the government, the agents that have been investigating this for years have done tireless, diligent work to piece together how these things fit together, to like actually interview over 100 individual alleged victims and over the course of time, and then figure out like, because these things are like, these companies are hidden, allegedly. They're all throughout the United States. And a lot of times victims are so embarrassed that they've been taken in that they don't want to report it. They don't want to talk about it. And I do really love that the documentary, the people that were brave enough to go on TV and say, admit, I fell for this. And they shouldn't feel bad because these people are so good at what they do. They know how to catch you when you are vulnerable, when you are weak. And they know the psychological manipulation and tricks in order to keep people on the hook. Like it's the sunk cost fallacy. And I'm so proud of the victims that came out and were like helped talk about it, because the more people know about this, the more people can be like safe and prepared and prevent your parents or your grandparents from getting caught from the same thing.
Well, one time when I was on Instagram, I had a couple drinks and there was like an ad for like a White Claw t-shirt. And I I bought it for like $12 and then the shirt never came and I never did anything about it because I was embarrassed. But I think that's illegal. I think that's like a similar. No, I mean, the thing that this documentary did very effectively, just like The Housewife and The Hustler, the Erica Jane one, was put a face to the victims. You know, the one lady that they, you know, the Kibachi case or the, you know, the people were like the, when she was saying like had a, they had an audio recording of like, yeah, let's hit her card for 20,000 today. And he was like, no, 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 that's too much. Let's do 15 and call it a day. And you're like, oh my God, they're just brazenly talking. And this lady was almost 90 years old. And she was so, cause she didn't use the internet at all. She was always scared of that stuff. And she thought this was like an opportunity for her.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's like, the they're talking about the lead list, and so they get somebody's information like that, and then they decide who gets to try to sell them the next thing, and then the next thing after that. And that's one of the things the government is alleging that Jin Shah was, like, at the top of deciding who gets these lists of vulnerable people, and who, like, which company gets them, and then, you know, the government alleges that the sales floors even had to kick back money up. Like back up the line, when they did like get that woman for, you know, whatever, all of like her savings.
And they can prove that she,
it's
Jen. They can prove she was on, they can prove it was on encrypted, they were using encrypted apps, right? To like communicate at a certain point. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing that's alleged, that after they were involved in the FTC investigation where Jen testified, she was deposed in an FTC investigation from one of the companies she worked for. She went and started her own company, and then they got smarter, allegedly, and started talking via encrypted messaging apps so that people couldn't find their messages. And they had accounts in Kosovo, and then they were registering them in Wyoming or something. So it's like they got a little sneakier, and it's like, why would you have to do that?
But also, I mean, that's the part that like blows my mind. I've talked about it on this show before, is that they knew that this stuff was being investigated, and they went harder. They just thought they were being smarter. But like, I love that there was a warning and they just didn't stop. They kept going.
Yeah. And that's why the government put them in the higher tier of liability. And Ryan, I think you were the one that coined it last time we talked to you, like that she's A-list.
Like, yeah, man.
Like, she's tier A, I think.
It's A-list, baby. Yeah. Like, can juries talk after the decision? Like they can, like, can I interview a jury member after this is over? Like, are they going to be up for, are they allowed to talk to like regular people, or are they sworn to secrecy or something?
I think it depends on the judge. I wasn't allowed to
talk when it's done. Like, well, whether or not the attorneys can talk to them, I think is different.
No, but like a jury member would be amazing of like how long it took to like come to whatever decision. And are you aware that she was a housewife and what she does? And are they allowed to, in court, is like video footage admissible in terms of what she spent and things like that?
I mean, I'm sure her attorney's going to argue that is more prejudicial than probative of anything. But if the prosecutors want to get it in, they'll argue, well, no, this is evidence of blah, blah, blah or something. Because they asked, I believe, for the unaired footage, I think. So
I've been asking for the unaired footage for years, like for all of the shows, not even just Salt Lake. I want all the unaired footage.
I know, right?
So this is actually, will a defense or could a defense be, I was just acting like I owned all that stuff. I just did it to impress like the TV because it's Housewives. Will that be a potential argument, do you think?
Yeah, I think that might be one that she uses, especially because in the documentary it was mentioned that everything she had was rented or borrowed. So she could probably try to just say that it was just, she's putting on airs for that. But even without that footage, like even without her statements, I still think that the government has a really strong case and enough evidence to put on a really good trial. You know what I mean? So she might push back. But
in a trial like this where it involves financials and all that, will Jen get the opportunity to testify, or is it not that kind of like movie case where we see the defendant take the stand to save themselves?
I mean, she has the right she has the right to take the fifth and not testify. And most of the time as an attorney, you don't want your client to testify, and the jury will be instructed that if she doesn't testify, that they can't hold that against her, that they can't bring it up, that they can't say that shows that she has any, because that's your constitutional right as you know.
Yeah, but that's wild though to say that you can't use it. Like, we're going to form opinions, just that's our human nature. Like, if somebody doesn't like, I mean, you can't help it but think, well, that's a little weird. Like, how do we really get in this? And I know this is not a housewife question, but how do we really get a fair jury anywhere? Like, I mean, it just seems like so many things are at play, and I like how human nature works. It's not that cut and dry. I can't just like divorce my mind from any thoughts, you know?
I mean, I still believe in our jury system. I've had juries that I believe were fair. I've watched jury trials where I feel like the jury was incredibly fair. And I think that, and maybe this sounds odd coming from an attorney, but I do really, sometimes you can get bad juries. Sometimes you can get somebody on the jury that isn't going to listen to the rules. But I really do believe people take that very seriously. And when they know the rules, that they want to follow them and that they want to give that person the, you know, because you really are judging somebody. You're deciding someone's fate. Like, the juries don't do sentencing, but like if they find her guilty, then they know that like she is going to jail. So like she's not going to be with her kids. She's not going to see her husband. Like, all of that's a big deal. I don't know. Maybe I
will.
What do you think?
I think that's why just like jury selection is so important.
Break on this podcast. That would be huge for my ratings.
Folks, summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. Now, I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, I found Quince. Now, I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I got a pair of tan shorts. I got a pair of green shorts. I cannot wait to style these for summer, and I got to tell you, the quality is great because Quince has all the seasonal must-haves like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
We will be right back to the show in just a second. We have a couple commercials for you, people that are sponsoring the show this week. All great products and people and shows. I'm very excited. Our first one, they are a repeat sponsor. It is a game called Best Fiends. Now, it is the busiest time of the year. So if you need a break from the holiday action, Best Fiends is the perfect pick-me-up. It is seriously my new favorite game. I have been playing it for the last couple of weeks, and especially over Thanksgiving. We would sit at the fire pit, my cousin and her boyfriend and my dad, and sometimes my mom, and I would have my phone, and I would be playing this while I was deep in conversation with my family. Sorry, my family, if you're listening. Best Fiends is a match 3 style puzzle and adventure game all rolled into one, and with more levels being added all the time, there's always something new to play. Best Fiends has it all. It has an amazing storyline, collectible fiends, and tons of fun puzzles. I can't put it down. It's quite possibly the best puzzle game out there. And no Wi-Fi? You're on a plane? No problem. Play Best Fiends wherever and whenever you want with offline mode. So even if your holiday travels take you off the beaten path, you can still play Best Fiends. Like I said, I brought it on a plane once already. I have brought it to my parents' place. I'm going to be on a set this week. I will probably bring it there. And also, it is a great way to get your mind, if you want to like not try to break your habit of like watching TV when you go to sleep like I do, it's kind of a good in-between thing to kind of break the TV habit, if you will. So download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That is Friends without the R, Best Fiends.
So check that out, you guys. I think that's great, and especially around the holiday times. And kind of get your older kids involved, too. I think it's cool. So our next one is sponsored by Wondery. Of course, we all know Wondery. They produce so many amazing, amazing shows. Here's another one. In the early 2000s, millions of households across the world tuned in to watch contestants battle for the last rose or to be the final survivor on the island. Reality TV was beginning to dominate the airwaves, and every show needed to be bigger, flashier, and more scandalous than the last. But in the case of one infamous dating show, the real drama was happening off screen, and it would shape the future of reality TV. The reality TV series There's Something About Miriam seemed like a pretty standard dating competition. Six young men wed for the affection of Miriam Rivera, a beautiful model from Mexico. But when Miriam revealed that she was a trans woman during the show's finale, the on-screen drama sparked an international uproar about gender, sexuality, and whether reality television had finally gone too far. Wondery's new podcast miniseries, Harsh Reality, The Story of Miriam Rivera, reveals what happened behind the scenes of this infamous TV show and how a multi-million dollar lawsuit and media fallout impacted the lives of Miriam and the contestants and changed the rules of reality television forever. I think shows like this are kind of amazing. It's what we've been talking about lately, folks, with getting a peek behind the curtain. We saw that, of course, with Denise Richards and the Bravo, Bravo, Bravo. But this actually takes us behind the scenes of what they did with this actual reality show. I think it is so fascinating to dissect these shows that we love and see where these productions learned from their mistakes. Also, I think this podcast especially highlights that sometimes the bigger story or the more intense story is actually what's happening behind the scenes. I am definitely adding this to my podcast list. I'm very excited for this one. And I'm actually, I think, going to probably be speaking to somebody involved in this podcast because it's just a really, really great story. So follow Harsh Reality, The Story of Miriam Rivera on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. That is very cool. I love when other podcasts sponsor this show. That is awesome. And it's about reality shows. It's what we love. And finally, Uncommon Goods. If you're anything like us, you want to win that Best Gift Giver Ever title this holiday season. We've got a secret source for that. It's Uncommon Goods. Uncommon Goods has just right gifts for all your loves and likes. We're talking moms, dads, teens, in-laws, besties, your one and only, all of them. It's not stuff you can find just anywhere. Uncommon Goods has unique and creative gifts, often handmade by independent artists and makers. And they have gift guides to help you match the right gift to the right person. Here is some cool stuff I found recently on their site. Of course, they have a cold brew maker. I want this, actually. I love Starbucks cold brew, but it's really expensive. But if I had a cold brew machine in my house, which they sell on Uncommon Goods, I think that would finally be the product that would make me actually happy in this world. I saw that. That was cool. In fact, you can actually go on there. You can say, I'm looking for my wife or for my daughter or for my girlfriend, and they will give you a list of items that are particularly good for them. And that is so cool. I kind of went on there, and I know you're not supposed to do this, but I just started looking at things that I would like. And that's not what gift giving is all about. You got to give to your loved ones, especially this time of year. They have it all. So who knows what holiday shopping will look like this season, and the unique gifts at Uncommon Goods can sell out fast. So shop now and get it taken care of early. Folks, we have less than a month to the big holidays. We got to get it under control. So Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful out of the ordinary gifts anywhere. Uncommon Goods also uncovers uncommon experiences. They offer that. So choose from live online classes in mixology, cooking, flower arranging, embroidery, and more from hand-picked artists and experts. They will even teach you cool classes to learn cool things. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So this is the important part. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/sobad. That's uncommongoods.com/sobad for 15% off. Remember, if you guys forget any of this,
it's probably the most important part of a jury case or a jury trial is to make sure you're picking a really good jury, asking the right questions, knocking out the ones you don't want. If you have like, if you have a certain number to knock out, you know, really making sure you're being selective, doing your research, all that. But you know, like, remember 12 Angry Men? There's always the one person that is like really sticking to the rules. That's getting
that
people.
Yeah, that's
like getting people to like follow the judge's orders and being like, no, we can't, you know, be nice. Like, we can't think about this. Like, so
we're
there's always going
to
be
stay here
that.
All night if we have
to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's like, we see that in movies too. And I don't know how, but like, they're body language experts and things like this for trials where they'll have like, the expert jury picker that'll come in to like pick the right people.
Yep.
But also it comes down to things like, I'm so curious of what Jen will wear. And I'm not joking about that.
Yeah,
but like,
no.
What image are we trying to present of Jen? Because there's going to be an image presented maybe by the I almost said the offense, but I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what image is she going to present? Will we see, there probably won't
box
be
braids.
Well, I mean, every day will it be a different hair? Will it be a different hairstyle each day? Will it be like Erica Jane, where we got mad at her for using glam when she was accused of her husband was accused of defrauding people? But I do wonder, like, are we going to see a courtroom drawing of Jen Shah? Are we? I mean, there's just so many things that and in cases like this, financial crime cases, how long does this drag on for, do you think?
Well, we know the date of the trial. So
March 22nd, right? Or something
March
22nd. Like that.
So, and we, the trial in the companion case, which I kept saying the name wrong. It's like, Sissy, how do you say it?
Katabchi,
yeah. That case, I think, went about 2 weeks. So, yeah. And
man.
Then if you don't know how long the jury will deliberate. And they can deliberate as long as they want to.
Ain't no court case like a Jen Shah court case, because a Jen Shah court case don't stop. And this is just as fans and kind of divorcing yourselves from lawyers. When you guys actually got to see the Salt Lake episodes that we had been hearing about the,
oh my God,
the like the Homeland Security and all that, which, by the way, the ABC documentary also, they interviewed a Homeland Security person, you guys. They really, really great interviews in here, including you guys. What did you guys think of those episodes?
They
so
were
good.
Unreal. Unreal. I stopped. My boyfriend doesn't watch Housewives, and I stopped and I was like, you have to watch these 10 minutes of her getting arrested. And he was hooked. Like, that, they should show that to the entire world, and Bravo would get a ton of new fans. You know what I mean? Like, go put that clip everywhere. They'd get a ton of new viewers. It was
so funny.
Good.
I've heard so many people that saying, like, boyfriends or husbands, they actually watched that part and they were into it.
Yeah. I mean, just the scene of the Homeland Security agents and the NYPD like walking up, and like, you know, Whitney and Heather have no idea. Like, we see them coming. It was like, this is cinema. This is like,
yeah, it gives me kind of chills talking about it. I always compared it to the scene in, like, there's a movie called Signs by M. Night Shyamalan, and you got to see the alien walk by and you were like, ah! But when we saw the Homeland Security and they did not see, we saw them before they saw them. It was really beautiful cinematography for being like a stationary camera. And of course the Jen Shah look, and of course the Jen Shah, like, coach has internal bleeding. And which she doubled down on. She's like, well, I don't know. I thought it was coach, but it was somebody else on the phone. It really reads to me, as somebody that watches these shows and like has lived a little bit of a life, that she's a really good liar that goes like swings for the fences in terms of lies and stories.
I just, watching her stay, like we watched her pop off on the show and like not be able to control herself and just whatever. And then watching her just be so calm when she got that call, and like just, and even like procedural, like she's like, could you undo my mic? And then she's calm. And then she tells the lie and then she leaves. Like, it's like so calm. It's like, that is so calculating to me. It looked very, in my opinion, calculating.
You know, but it's also very, I thought, The Hulu documentary also did a good job, where they try to provide some context about Jen Shah's upbringing, about feeling less than, feeling her skin was dirty and trying to scrub it off. I thought that was an interesting touch about trying to maybe provide some kind of context for why somebody would eventually do these things or want money or something. I don't know if that's what they meant by that, but that's what I took away, of trying to get into the mind of why would somebody get into this line of work. And I think it all comes down to money. And even Jen Shah a couple episodes ago said to Stewart, like, you know, we did this for our families, where, you know, we keep people employed and their families food on the table. And it was this weird kind of Godfather like esque thing of like, you know, we did this for a reason, Stu. And I don't know, like, so those episodes were great. Was there anything that you took away from those episodes legally? And I'm sure you've covered this on your show, but was there anything that was like, wow, that's interesting?
And this isn't quite answering your question, but like when, maybe it was the next episode after, but when, Meredith was talking about how they had been getting these cryptic text messages, threatening.
Yeah.
And like from this unknown source, like because, I immediately was like, oh, that was probably from, you know, the Telegram app where she had like, you know, spoofed numbers to do it. Like,
by the way, Telegram app also, second time we've talked about that on the podcast this week. Shout out Randall Emmett, who loves Telegram app with ladies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He recommends Telegram. Yeah. Mm. By the way, I'm the idiot that thought he was actually sending telegrams. And I was like, that's so weird. Nobody would do that. I guess that is different, you know? That's what I'm saying. Like, that is also another interesting point is, but then my mind goes into this kind of thing of like, I wonder if her and Stewart are still communicating.
They can't.
I know they can't, but like, she wasn't supposed to do any of the stuff she did, and she did it. So, I mean, it seems like she's kind of ballsy. I'm curious if there has been outreach, even though,
I don't think Stewart wants to talk to her right now.
The only thing that I would
Stewart knew what he did though, right? Like, I know he doesn't want to talk to her.
If he had the DEA, or not the DEA, he would do it if he had like the prosecutors being like, see if she responds. Like, he would do it. I don't think.
Oh, like if he was wearing a wire.
Yeah, like to see like, yeah, you know, what, like if she, especially like if she's like threatening him or something. I'm not saying she is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
like, I don't think he wants to. He doesn't want to get his head chewed off by Jen right now.
You won't be able to hear that in jail if she gets there. So Stewart says it's just for a reduced sentence. He doesn't get off scot-free from what I read. Is that correct?
We don't know what he is. So he has entered his plea of guilty to those specific charges, but we don't know what his sentence is.
But his recommended one is. But there's a possibility, I thought I had read, that like, it, you know, with his cooperation, he could potentially get a reduced sentence, whatever that may be. But it's not like he gets no sentence. He still will be sentenced to something.
Yeah. Yeah. And his sentencing is going to happen early March 2020. Yeah. So before Jen's trial, we'll know what his sentence is.
Do you know what he potentially could get? Even like, I take away the cooperation, what could he get?
There was a maximum of 70 years for the three charges he pled guilty to. Yeah. 70 because he ended up, because before it was just the wire conspiracy to commit wire fraud charge and then conspiracy to commit money laundering, and then he pled guilty to an additional charge, which was the obstruction of justice charge. So before it was a maximum of 50, and then with the addition of the other charge it went up to 70 years. But that's the maximum, that's the top.
So if they cut that's the top. What's the least these files or these charges run? Like, I mean, is it like the least he could get is 35 without cooperation? Like,
I mean, like the minimum sentencing guidelines aren't like, those were kind of taken out. And so it's going to be like what the pre-sentence investigation report says, and then what's recommended by the prosecutors, and like, whether he's had any prior convictions or not. Like, Ceci does a great job of explaining it, how it's like a quiz where you're like, if this, then you add 3 points. If, you know, if not this, then take away 2. Like, so we don't know what.
If you're his lawyer, though, what are you hoping for with cooperation? What's like the best that you could get with cooperation?
Like time served, which is what one of the other co-defendants got.
But he's not in jail right now, though, is he? He's not in jail right now. So it's not... No. Time served, right. He wouldn't be, he would still have to
serve time. Yeah.
The other tier A or A-list people, as you said, Ryan, have gotten pretty substantial sentences. So I would think they'd be somewhere around there. And because those other A-list tier A people, some of them cooperated as well. So
is there any chance Jen Shaw can flee the country? Like, her passport has been turned in, right? Like, but that's the other, just like, does Jen Shaw follow you guys on Instagram?
No.
But Meredith Marks does.
I'm sure she double follows. I'm sure all the whole family follows you guys. Yeah. I mean, well, Meredith really, and I didn't realize Meredith was a lawyer before as well. And Meredith has been, because there was that Louis Vuitton accusation that started on Demois that's saying that, you know, oh, she's red flagged at Louis Vuitton, which was said on the show. And then somebody from Louis at LouisVuitton@gmail.com wrote Demois and said, I'm here at the store right now, and Jen Shaw has a perfect record, blah, blah, blah. And Meredith goes, guys, yeah, I've seen this, but I could make up an email address and say that as well. I don't, you know, thanks for pointing that out, but I'm not, you know, I'm not an idiot. So
we're fans of Meredith. She's smart. Like, we kind of low key love her.
Oh, she's like a Xanax detective. She's like, what's going on? Like, she's always very mellow, and you could tell she's like, you're going to get yours. And like that smile in the bathtub with Mary was just chilling. Like,
I loved it so much.
But the bathtub was weird. Come on. The bathtub was
weird. I loved it because it was weird.
She looked down into the water like she saw somebody's future, and she was like, yes, they will. And Mary was like, get out, hit me with a cold sweat. She's like, she was like going in and out of the doorway, like, stop. Oh my God, I can't. It was so cool. In terms of the law now, do we just wait through March, or is there going to be more in the meantime that we're waiting for things to drop? Singles for an album. Are we waiting for things before this, or is everything now? We got the court date, we got Stu's permission, we're going to get him sentenced in March. Is there any other big things that we're on the lookout for in this case?
Well, the government will respond to the motion to dismiss, motion for sanctions that Jen Shaw's attorney filed. So that response will be coming. And I don't remember what the deadline is in the Southern District of New York, if it's 7 days or 14 days or whatever. That'll be coming. The motions in limine will get filed regarding the pretrial stuff.
Wait, well, I'm sorry. What's limine?
Oh, so that's, Sazzy, do you remember what that means in Latin?
No, but that's the motions Angela was talking about earlier, where they try and knock stuff out before trial evidence. Right,
like
out.
Don't let this in. It's prejudicial, whatever.
Oh,
like,
you know. But will we be privy to what gets in and out before? Okay, so that'll be open to us.
Yeah. And we'll be here to explain it to you, Ryan.
That's what I want to actually, before I want to talk a little bit about Erica Jane as we start on the downhill slope of this interview, unfortunately. You know, I was looking, you have a Patreon now, you have a YouTube channel now. Is this, are you going to be doing, I was going to suggest you guys already probably have this, but you got to do the Daily Shaw report, or like the Shaw, you know, you got to like report live or with some fake backdrop. And like, today was a very dramatic day in the Jen Shaw hearing. You know, like, what are we going to get on? What differentiates the YouTube from the Patreon?
The YouTube, we're just doing little explanatory videos to kind of supplement what we have on the podcast. So like the video we have up there right now explains money laundering, because a lot has been talked about the wire fraud charges, because that's the charges that involve the alleged telemarketing scheme. So we really like go into detail and explain like what money laundering is, and we use pop culture examples. Like, actually, you know, Heather was pretty accurate when she was talking about the show Ozark.
Yeah,
and so we talk about that. I think I have an example up there from Breaking Bad, the car wash, the money laundering. So it's like we use examples from pulp culture and from Housewives to kind of explain, here's what these specific charges are, and then here's how money laundering works.
Yeah, and then our Patreon, we are offering a monthly Zoom where people can ask us questions or discuss cases live with us for like an hour, like we're doing right now. Like,
can people discuss their own cases?
I'm no.
Like,
hey, no,
absolutely not. There is no.
Yeah, there's none of that. No. Just about the things we've covered, like we're doing right now. We're opening it up to anyone who wants to talk to us about.
So I'm kind of unofficially a Patreon member right now.
We're giving it to you for free.
I think that's such a great idea, and especially for the work you guys do, and like the amount of work that goes into these things. You know, I know I put a lot of work in doing what I do, but you guys take it to a whole nother level, just because, you know, I mean, you have to really peruse so many legal documents and make heads or tails of very complicated proceedings a lot of the time. And not just this, because I was like, then I was like, oh my God, will you guys do? And I think you've done some blast from the past proceedings. Like, are we going to get into the Teresa Giudice's? Are we going to get into, you know, there's so many things in the past that aren't actually current events that I would love your take on, or for you to walk us through, you know?
Yeah, that was
three episodes on Teresa. So
But that was our intention starting the podcast, was to do the past cases. There's still so many.
There's been, like, so much in the current.
I know.
You can't even do the past. Like, that's every time I think about, like, I want to do this, something new will happen in Bravo. Mm-hmm. And it's like my plan gets totally switched around. This is not a joke. It might sound like one, but like, if Jen Shaw's people are reached out to you and said, could we have you guys on retainer to, like, just talk about this case as Housewives fan and lawyers? We would really love you to be on our team. You're not going to be, you know, defending the case or anything, but we need you as part of our team. Would you consider doing it?
I could not, because I just couldn't, with the job I have, I could not. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's a conflict with work, but yeah. Do you mean from
Angela? Angela, if I can get you fired from work, would you consider doing it?
No, don't get me fired from work. I'm joking. Damn it, Ryan.
Would you, Ceci, same thing with you?
Yeah, there's also a work conflict, because we both work full-time jobs. I think if I was just a, you know, freelance legal reality TV researcher, yeah, sign me up, Jen Shaw's team, but...
I just didn't know, that is interesting. I kind of like tend to like get really, I take sides really quickly, and I just, you know, but I guess you have to be impartial in the business that you do. And it really is by the facts and what's presented and what's not presented. Right. That's what.
Yeah. I think a lot of times in our line of work, you kind of have to take the emotion out of it and just focus on the law and do what's right under the word of law. Even if you know your client is potentially guilty, you have to make sure that they're getting like a fair trial, that due process is being served, that their constitutional rights are being upheld. So it switches from being a morality thing to just a pure law thing. And you have to just do your best at representing your client, and being their zealous advocate is the buzzword. So, yeah.
But I mean, in your opinion, why do you think Whitney knew, like, that's called a lead list? They got so much of these lead lists. Like, she knew. She explained it better in that episode than I had heard it up to that point. And I know you, I mean, like, I was shocked to hear how much Whitney did know. And she was able to, like, really clearly explain it, where I had gotten a different picture of it than I had before. And I was like, and then also, was she really potentially using, like, Shaw Squad merchandise as a shell company? Like, was that a way to move
so
money?
I think Whitney's a lot smarter than people give her credit for. And I think with her husband's business, you know, and her businesses, like, it's, you need to know exactly where the line is. So if you,
well, yeah, because I hear there's rumors like MLM potentially, or like in that kind of, or
well, MLMs aren't illegal. They're
exactly
illegal.
But it's okay. Yeah. I think we attach that to it because of things like LuLaRoe and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Just MLM sounds like a dirty word now.
Well, it's not, you know, I think Whitney's just, she knows exactly where the line is, because she doesn't, I would hope, because she doesn't want to cross that line. So she has made herself familiar. This is me speculating, but I would think that she's made herself familiar with what the law is.
I like that.
And then, because she doesn't want, I hope, to cross the line. And so it's like, you better, like, this is where the line is. So you better know where it is so you don't cross it.
God, could you imagine getting, like, on Whitney's bat? Like, there's got to be, like, some dark side of Whitney. It's like, listen, you motherfucker. You know, like, and she just curses you out.
Your Whitney's really
good. Yeah, that's really good. But, I mean, just, like, we've heard those audio recordings of her, of Jen Shaw yelling at Koa, of Stewart, of all of that stuff. And they even kind of scare me. But I just, like, it's, like, weird to imagine somebody like Whitney ever getting to that point. I just want to really quickly ask about Erica Jayne, how we left off with that situation. We talked about that, like, the last time you were on Full Burn. Like, we got the ending of the season. We got the reunions. Were you satiated and satisfied with all of the information presented and how Andy Cohen did at the reunion? I know this is a while back. I shouldn't dredge up old memories, but I was just curious from your takes on it.
I think that was the best questioning he's ever done on a reunion, but it obviously wasn't to our satisfaction, because he doesn't know enough legally to ask the follow-up questions. So it, you know, it kind of left us like,
they would get distracted by like Lisa, like saying something about Lisa Vanderpump. And then all of a sudden it would get like, you know, like I'm here, I'm facing my stump, you know, that's Erica. And then it would just get distracted. And Andy asked a good first question, but then would, it would totally get lost. Would you guys in that situation know all the questions, like knowing the information that, you know, what are the things that you would have wanted to know?
Oh, but we didn't go into that in detail in our last episode that we just released. And like, we didn't title it The Reunion Rant, but we, Ceci and I, go into like exquisite detail.
I can just hear everybody turning this podcast off right now and going to that podcast. Just wait a couple more minutes, you guys. Then you can head on over.
We talk about that because it's like Andy has to walk a line. Like, he is not an attorney. He has to stay conversational with them. You can't have too adversarial of a position with them, or else like what he does like doesn't work, you know? So it's, we had their job, but yeah, there were multiple things where we were like, this should have been asked. This should have been asked. This was complete garbage. She distracted everybody with this. You know, we felt frustrated.
Did it feel like she got the questions ahead of time a little bit for people?
I think she didn't get the questions ahead of time, but she probably practiced what she was going to say, because it sounded like she was answering the question that she wanted to answer instead of what was being asked. Mm-hmm. She had like,
seemed like by rote, like, yes, yes, yeah. Like, she, before he even finished the question, sometimes she would have a very quick, curt reply. And I know that's part of her whole persona, but it just like sometimes felt like, wow, do you already know the question's coming? It was just like a little, I've watched, like, just like you guys, I watch these shows ad nauseum. So just like you start putting these stories behind every line, or what you think possibility they could be thinking. And so they're already shooting the new season. They're deep in the season. I wonder if any of, like, are we going to be continuing part two of the Erica Jane, Tom Girardi legal proceedings in the next season? Or do you predict that they're just going to have it be like, Dorit's house got broken into, and this, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're going to back off of it, because there hasn't really been anything. There hasn't been a long New York Times article blows up.
The cover of LA Magazine, Los Angeles Magazine, I guess yesterday.
I just mean there hasn't been anything like salacious in the case that the housewives would have their alarm bells ringing. Like, we have read things that we think are very salacious, but I don't think it's gotten to the level that it would make it on the show yet. So I think that's why they're going to cool off.
Could you possibly share with me what you've read that's salacious?
Yeah, I mean, they've straight up claimed, like, one of the trustees filed an action against Tom Girardi and straight up claimed that he's, like, bankruptcy fraud, essentially, that he shouldn't be discharged of his credits because he withheld information from
2 days ago, right? Like, or didn't they rule something a couple days ago where he is able to get sued and he is on the line for money? Like, I thought I had read some kind of really brief thing, or maybe I'm just imagining Tom Girardi cases now.
There's that. There's isn't there like another one where they're claiming that money went to third parties, Angela? Like, they filed something that
the thing that is in the Jay Edelson, when he had the hearing and those motions, and then Ronald Richards was off the case. Jay Edelson alleged that EJ Global LLC specifically got money that had to come from the Lion Air victims. So
yes,
that was pretty like, that's pretty like that, because he's like, look, there's no other, this money went into this account, and then that money went directly to EJ Global, and there was no money in this account until the money came in from the Lion Air. Like, and so like, he went and did some forensic accounting, and that's what he's alleging. And he's like, there is specific evidence that this money went to pay EJ Global LLC in these specific instances, and it's in the court pleadings. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. So, there's also like one of the victims that put in her declaration that Tom was calling her even after he was held in contempt by the court, saying, yeah, no, don't worry, I'm still going to get your money. And it's like, dude, you're in a bankruptcy right now.
Well, like, I mean, during the reunion, Erica said he's held five times today, you know, like, which, by the way, huge miss on Andy's part that he didn't go, like, next time he calls, will you answer it while we're on?
Yeah.
I'm like, if he's calling that much, like, I mean, by the way, and I also do think he is a very ill man as well, or I'm not you know, I'm not devoid of feeling, and I don't think that's completely false what's they're you know, claiming that he's going through, but it's just weird, all of this stuff. And then is there any other, like, OC just premiered this week? We have Sweet Baby James or Sweet James or whatever Noella's husband is. Have you followed this guy, the lawyer?
Yeah, he's a really big, I think, personal injury attorney in LA.
His billboards are everywhere.
His face is everywhere. Yeah, that's what one of the people I work for, his face apparently is everywhere. He's like one of those guys. Yeah, I think the only thing I followed is about their divorce, but nothing beyond that. Yeah.
I think we're going to look into it though.
Yeah. That's what I was like hoping, because I'm like, every, like if somebody jaywalks now, I'm like, I wonder if the Bravo docket will be covering this. Like, you know, like, but that, well, I mean, can you give us a, like, as we go here, can you give us a little peek into what's coming up next? Is there anybody you have your eye on? Is there anybody like, this cat better watch out? I might be doing an episode. Like, is there anything like that coming up?
I think we really want to get into Bethany's divorce, especially because there's
you've got a whole series if you do that.
Yeah.
It's been going on for, it's like death taxes and Bethany's divorce will be deal. Like, those are the only three certainties. Always be dealing with.
Yeah. And there's been like a new request for custody, or like full custody, by Jason Hoppe, which I cannot believe it's still going on.
Yeah.
I also want to go into LVP. I know Angela's a huge LVP stan, but LVP's restaurant things. She had like wage disputes.
Yep.
The fires.
Did you guys watch Vanderpump Rules this week?
I think I'm an episode behind.
Angela, when you watch this week's episode, there's a scene between DeeDee James Kennedy and Raquel outside in the Sur alleyway. And I don't care about the scene itself, but you look in the background, there's like 30 propane.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Laying out there. I'm like,
all the propane tanks. You posted it. I was laughing.
You're out there smoking. And I'm like, Lisa is trying to blow this place up. There is no way she's not trying to blow this place up. Okay. So that, I think Vanderpump would be amazing. Has any Bravo Lebs like given you guys dirt about like, you should look into this?
No. I've got to go. My husband.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
I am sorry, so husband. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. I'm finishing up anyways. Okay. Bye, Angela. I'll just finish up with Sussie. Sussie,
I've got to go. I'm getting in trouble.
Oh, sorry, guys. Okay.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, you guys, she's on vacation and that's why she has to go. And
I'm in Mexico.
Go. Nobody's gotten into your guys' DMs, housewives wise.
No, but I'll take it if they want to come into our DMs. Come on.
Okay.
Bring it on over.
We got the YouTube. And what is the YouTube URL? Is it just YouTube?
It's just the Bravo Docket on YouTube. We just launched our Patreon, which is the Bravo Docket. Our Instagram is kind of where we post updates all the time. So I think that's the best place to follow us.
I said this last time, but it is so much information, and they make all the images look really awesome. And then I just go there for news, and you just can read really quick what is going on in the Bravo world. And you can't get better than hearing it from like two lawyers. You can't get better. Like, these guys really know what they're doing. Their podcast is great. You heard them last time. I guess you already listened to it, but if you don't, I strongly suggest, over these holidays especially, perfect podcast to binge. Is there anything else coming up that we need to be on the lookout for?
No, unless another housewife gets arrested and they need us to be on a documentary.
Well, you know that, by the way. You know that's going to happen. You guys do that again, right? I thought that was really cool. I thought the last
one was so fun.
I still am saying, like, we need to pitch to Bravo where you guys are lawyers and we try Bravo cases. I'll be like a jury member or something. You'll be the lawyers. And we just try old cases like Candace and things like that, you know?
Yeah, we would happily do it. We had so much fun. And like I said before, we just like getting information out to people and some verified legal tea. We like getting it out there. So this is fun for us.
Do you guys ever fight in regards to your opinions or like what you should post or whatnot? Like, do you guys ever have heated arguments about this? I mean, like,
no. Yeah, we edit each other a lot. So sometimes I'll have opinions that Angela doesn't agree with. So we'll edit it down and make sure we're like being very fair. You know, sometimes she gets a little bit more passionate about like the Erica stuff than I do. So we kind of try and edit each other and make sure that we're staying fair in a legal way.
I love that. Like, I have nobody to edit me, obviously. And how dare you film in LA and then not even, we should have.
You were at your parents, I think. You were gone. Oh, yeah, we were going to message you and we were like, oh no, he's gone. So
I'm praying that somebody else does get arrested from the housewives now. So you come back to LA when you're talking on the Hulu documentary. So you guys, the Bravo docket, Ceci, Angela, I'm going to put all the information in the show notes, but please, please, please go support. They are doing really amazing work. And I highly recommend, and hopefully you'll come on for a third time at some point. So
yeah, definitely. I'd be happy to.
Hey, you know what? And if you ever need, if you want to ever do like a practice jury episode, I can be one of your practice dummy jury.
Yeah.
People, you know?
Yeah. Or we had an episode where we had transcripts and we tried to do horrible accents. We can get you to do the accents.
And just send you the audio, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do that.
Well, I will talk to you guys next time.
Betches.